Welcome back to the Loose Ballers. Of course, we need to thank Mazda, brought to you by the brand new Mazda BT50, the complete. Dill Buckley, all the way from Melbourne, mate. How are you travelling?
Oh, well, I just wasted my good intro because we just did one and I absolutely riled up WA, riled up yourself and riled up. Yeah. Joshy Gallup, and he just didn't even fucking play on it. So I don't even know where we're at the moment.
I know, and you referred to us as horses or something or other, and I thought we were both little Shetland ponies in here. But, mate, I know you're in lockdown. I know it's a bit tough on you, but I walked in here about 5 minutes ago, and I don't know if you've ever been to Seven West, but there's security that now sits at the front door, and you can't really see them. There's like a little peephole. And all I could hear from about 15 metres as I got out of my car was the security yelling at me about how shit our radio ratings were yesterday. Hey, mate, how'd your radio ratings go? Gee whiz, they weren't much chopped. The smooth old 80s, 60s are better than you. Oh, mate, she whacked me and whacked me and whacked me. Anyway, Rebecca's me,
so
mate.
So the ratings came out yesterday. I know last time that they weren't in your favour. Have you bounced back up?
No, but we started too high. We started with a number that was probably
okay. A
little bit of fool's gold. So we've had a couple of haircuts. I reckon we're at the bottom now, and then we just track on up nicely and signed a contract just a couple of weeks ago, so not the end of the world.
Go, Xavier.
Hey, mate, lockdown, tell us about it. How are you travelling?
Yeah, pretty fucking awesome, man. Just sort of like stared at a wall earlier.
Are you allowed to have a guess?
Was with my dog a bit earlier too.
Are you guesting at all?
Guess? No guesting. But we actually got an update earlier that apparently on the 23rd, so what, 20 odd days away, we're allowed to go outside and have a picnic in a park or something like that. I'm not too sure. But, yeah, look, it is what it is, my friend. We don't worry about roadblocks here in Victoria. We worry about what we can. And at the moment, it's not worrying about a lot because you can't really do a lot. So
you get into the office at all?
That's a positive of everything. But, no, not at the moment. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks that'll be sort of let back in. I'll get back in the office and whatnot. But, mate, it's the finals footy is up and roaring, and that's the only thing that's sort of keeping us up and about at the moment, which is good to see. And luckily, as an onlooker, I'm just absolutely wrapped that – honestly, I am wrapped that it's landed in Perth, and I think that Optus Stadium is going to do it a fantastic, fantastic justice. So I'm very excited for that and some crowds to be watching it too because it adds a lot.
It does add. Now, we're going to talk about Toby in a minute, but we're on the grand final now. We may as well plough on. Hey, when do you want to see the AFL grand final? In terms of what time slot do you think the AFL grand final should be played?
I think personally, I love it at that 2 p.m. time slot. And that's from a Victorian saying 2 p.m. time slot, MCG on a Saturday afternoon. Being in Perth, obviously this year in WA, I'm not too fussed. I'm really not fussed at all. I think whatever's best for the players and the people of WA because they're hosting the game. I think the twilight, as a player, that's like just the worst time. So I'd feel for the boys like playing in a twilight game. But then again, they're going to be accustomed to the time change. So I don't see why they couldn't do a 2 p.m. start and do it then as well.
But if it was at the MCG, you get down Swan Street at about midday, you throw a few India, and then you walk over 2:10, 2:30 bounce down is the ideal time slot for an AFL grand final.
That's the best for me. I personally think that's the best time. As an onlooker, you get the morning, you catch up with your mates, you have a few beers, as I said, and then you've got the spectacle in the afternoon and then you go mad at night. The night grand final, it's weird. You know, you sort of ride yourself off before the game's even started and you're not really sure what to do after it. So I'm definitely a fan of the afternoon one.
Now, in terms of AFL, actually, Baz told me a funny story today on air. Deal that in his first year or two of working for Channel 7 and calling the footy, he got an email from the boss of Channel 7, and it was like, congratulations on your season, Baz. Thank you very much for calling the football for 7. We'd love to extend an invitation for you to call to commentate the grand final. And then he had to slide down. He thought it was going to be the grand final game, and it was a grand final sprint.
Oh, no. Oh, goodness.
Have you been?
That's disrespect. That is disrespect of the Prince of Perth. You cannot be doing that, can you? Yeah, like,
he reckons 8 years in a row, he hasn't called the grand final, but he's called the sprint.
That's so good. I was in the heat of one of those ones. Yeah. He probably would have called me, but he is the GOAT, Baz.
I was going to say, I reckon I've seen you run in it.
I did the halftime. I did my calf like the week earlier, but I was getting delisted a week later. Yeah. Oh, this was in 2018, I think, when the Giants were there. But yeah, I did my calf the week earlier, celebrating at training too much, but I really needed the cash because I was getting delisted like 2 weeks later. So I just pretended that I didn't do the calf and made sure I collected.
I'd tell you what, there's a few balls in the air at the moment with obviously the grand final. There's a lot of football functions that are happening. Not a lot of talent coming over.
Oh,
say yes.
Jesus, Xavier. You honestly.
Say yes to
it. If there's a man that's going to make, I'm calling the ATO, and if there's a man that's going to be funneling cash next year through if buts and everything, it's going to be yourself. I think this could be one of the biggest earners for someone like you. I should have been Norm Smith medalist, premiership player, just to have it a function. Honestly, you might not see him and the kids for a month.
Do you know what adds value, Dylan? It's so funny, is that I'm actually worth more, like to do functions and stuff for a bit of fun, because I say that I should have been a Norm Smith medalist. If I was a Norm Smith medalist, I wouldn't get the absolute shit talking roles, but I would walk up and just say, I should have been a Norm Smith medalist.
Oh, you can't really brag about like winning one, but it's funny and not winning one. So you're right.
And just own it and just whack them around. Hey, let's skip back to the week of footy, the finals deal. One good game, which was completely the other game. Port Adelaide were too good. Brisbane were ordinary against Melbourne, and of course the Bulldogs kicked 8 or 9 in a row to finish that game against Essendon. But there was a 1-point game, Sydney or the Battle of the Bridge, and there was absolutely no talk about the game post. It finishing and everything's been centered around Toby. Toby Green's one of your close mates. I'm an absolute fanboy as well. So you're not going to get anything from us that sort of hangs the bloke. But how did you see the Toby Green week, mate?
Oh, geez, it was a hectic week, wasn't it? We saw the game, we saw the vision, and straight up you think, oh, look, that, you know, that's going to cause a stir. Obviously, being Toby. And knowing that he does cause a lot of media headlines when he gets himself in these situations, but bloody hell, you know, it went from a fine to 1 week to 2 weeks to 3 weeks. And I love when these results come out. Everyone at the start saying that, you know, it was 1 week, 2 week, and when the 3 weeks comes out, they go, oh, it should have been six. Yeah. It's like, well, you never said that earlier, did you? Like people, it's just unbelievable. I have to get off Twitter at these times because there's just every Tom, Dick and Harry wants to have their opinion on everything, which again, look, you know, the game is built on the fans and them wanting to know, but geez, I don't think they want to know from some of these absolute morons that are having a say at the moment because it is incredible. But look, in all honesty, he knows that he shouldn't have done that. It's not a good look for the game. We've got to look after the umpires, and I think, you know, you cop it on the chin and move on. But for those people that say that, you know, it should be getting more weeks, I think the biggest loss here is we've got to remember it's 3 weeks, but it potentially missing out on a grand final.
You're missing out on a grand final. During the sentence was, didn't matter how many weeks, as long as he didn't play again this year. Be like Andrew Gaff when Gaffy slapped, when he whacked Brayshaw across the jaw. It was like, it doesn't matter how many weeks it is, he's just not going to play again this season. So they made it 8, I reckon it might have been, and that was literally 8 got him to the grand final and stiff pickies, and they end up winning the flag. Jurgen Lewis went, righto, we just don't want to see him again this year.
I think so. I think that's exactly what's happened. But, yeah, look, from all reports, I've been – on we're trying to stay off, but the latest I saw that was the AFL was looking to actually challenge the rules and go back and give him more weeks. So who knows? Watch this space and see what happens. But yeah, it's crazy. Like again, I understand the I understand this, and I'm not just saying this because he is a mate, but like we can't touch umpires. That's not a part of the game. But you look earlier at the Lachie Neale decision where I think he got off with a fine.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, there is a bit of contrast here. It's crazy how it all works. So, look, I think You've nearly now from this got to put into a rule of just no touch the umpires at all.
Yeah,
and that's absolutely. Just a blanket.
Yeah, yeah, it no, almost should
nothing
be
at all.
If and I think they tried that. Tom Hawkins was the first player. Tom Hawkins got done twice with the new rule that was introduced. Remember when they said, "Righto, next person to jump and punch gets a week." Hawkins went and jump and punched someone, got a week. And then they said, next person touched the umpire gets a week. And he put his arm on the umpire, got a week. Eddie, you're right. If you touch the umpire, regardless, that's 3 weeks now. It doesn't matter what you're doing, what you're thinking. It has to be. Yeah, it makes the tribunal less important. And the match review whatever his name is, panelist, can actually do his job rather than keep referring things to the tribunal. But tell us about it as a teammate, mate. Toby is unashamedly, I said the other day on TV, I think he's the best player in the competition. I'm sure you'd probably think something very similar. He seems to get himself in these pickles a little bit. How do you deal with it inside the four walls at the Giants? So you're Josh Kelly, Lachie Whitfield, Tim Taranto, those sort of guys who need Toby Green out there. How do they feel?
It's a great question, and I can say this for certain. The person that's going to be hardest on Toby Green is himself.
Yep.
He is one of the most loyal blokes you've ever met. He bleeds orange. All he wants to do is be out there and support his mates and playing with his teammates. And unfortunately, you know, it's like deja vu. It happened last year and it's happening again at a similar pointy end of the season that, there's been some incidents that have happened.
Yeah.
But he's, no one's going to really need to walk up to him and tell him that he's let the team down because he'll know that for certain. But to think that we can go and ask him to play a different way, I don't think that's neat. Like what he's doing on the ground at the moment is fine. It's probably just those gaps in between the game that, you know, you'd say that might need to be tightened up. But at the end of the day, mate, he puts bums on seats.
Yeah.
People watch.
Did he ever lose it at training?
Toby Green's playing.
Like, did the white line fever? I know my first year, Hodgie and Shane Crawford had a punch up, and I was like, oh my god, the footy club's falling to pieces. But they were just that competitive that. Crawford wanted Hodgie to be better. Hodgie wanted Crawford to be better. I was just some shit player who was about 17, hardly had a pube. And I was just like, wow, this is unbelievable watching a Brownlow medalist and a future dual norm triple premiership captain. Did you ever have any Barneys at training? Were you there when Santana booted bloody whoever it was?
No, that was one of the cloaks. No, I wasn't there at that stage, but... Yeah, you're right. These things happen at training all the time. Yeah. Obviously, competitive juices are flowing and you definitely things get heated. But, look, I think Toby will learn from this. As I said earlier, he's going to be the most disappointed in himself. And it's tough because he's the last bloke that looks for handouts or sympathy from anyone. He wouldn't care less what anyone's saying about him. But as a mate and a friend, it is tough to see someone that you obviously love go through something like this because, you know, their heart's in the right place, but he made a mistake and hopefully we can move
mate,
on.
Mate, can you just last one on Tobes? I've heard you describe him, what he's like in his private life, and it would surprise a lot of people. Like, I think people probably think Toby's, on the bloody pipe and stuff. He's like a rat bag. When you see, like, he'll be a madman. He's out on the streets punching blokes in the parks and stuff. What's he like? When he's with his partner or his mates?
Mate, he's like an old man. Yeah. He literally gets up in the morning, reads the papers, has a cup of tea, does his study, and he's a great bloke. He's a star and a very, very good man and love being around him. But he's that sort of bloke where, he's just loves being around people and a very, very, very unwaveringly loyal person.
Yeah.
You know, once you've cracked that friendship, he'll do anything for you, and it's hard to not want to repay that faith. But it's hard. It's one of those things. You look at a situation like this, and you see so many people, and in their right mind, who some of these people that abuse him online and stuff. Yeah. You got to look at them and go, Jesus, what has gone wrong in your life to say some of these things?
Yeah.
But it's hard to bite your tongue sometimes.
Do you ever get abused?
You just got to be the bigger person. And I don't really. I don't think anyone really cares enough about me to abuse me. And and if they did, I don't really know what I'd even say to it. But it's tough, mate. It is. You know what it's like. It's a bloody hard one. But, look, I just want him to be all right, and I know he will be. He doesn't. He's not asking for sympathy of anyone. Course. That's the biggest thing. He's a tough bloke, and he'll be right.
Now he's in Perth. One man that's not in Perth. Story that broke this morning. Eddie McGuire. For some reason, Eddie has not been allowed to enter the state. We've got at the moment. So Damien Barrett's in hotel quarantine, who we speak to on the radio each morning. Gary Lyon's doing his SEN program back to Melbourne every morning from quarantine in WA. Sam McClure is in quarantine, I think. The AFL execs are on their way today. But Eddie McGuire just said, they said, no, Ed, sorry, mate, denied.
It's the best. That's got me up today. That's unbelievable, that story. That is so funny. That's hilarious. It's just the best part is just adding the Suns on as producers. I know you were saying off air that they work for his company, but that is just hilarious. I think any other state would have let him in, I reckon. And McGowan has just said, no, thank you.
What about like that's grandstanding in its highest order? Like you've let everybody else in. And Eddie McGuire, love him, loathe him, whatever. And a text message came through today, like, we love our heroes, but we also love our villains as well. And, like, he's a villain to people in WA. A lot of people don't particularly like him. But you can't deny that his input into AFL TV programs, events, he is by far probably bigger than any of the other journalists and media personalities that are coming over. I find it absolutely grandstanding.
Yeah, it's funny, but also not really. But yeah, to think that you'd be able to be let over, you know, it made me think. I work with Seven West Media now, and maybe I could get a little permit to come over there and work do the podcast with you boys.
You should have a throw at the stumps.
I should ask Nicky to see if he can get us.
Mate,
in.
Just apply and say I've been a contract with Seven West for 3 years. Let me in. See what happens. Might work. Yes.
I might.
So Eddie's a no. Last one in terms of what's going on. Adam Chera. So Carlton gets to appoint a coach. Adam Chera word is Carlton. You're a Carlton man. I don't agree with Eddie Betts saying that the Carlton list has got more talent than Adelaide in 2017, but there's talent there. There's got to be not much money, and Adam Chera seems to be high on the list.
Yeah, it's an interesting one for me. One might say it's perplexing. I think that's
perplexed.
A word.
You're a bit perplexed by
that one, Lading. I'm a bit perplexed. I saw it come up on my screensaver. I have words that I try and use every day.
Is you got something like that? What's that?
That one came up, and I thought it was fitting. Oh, just like new words come up on my screensaver, and I try. It's you to try and use them in your day. Oh,
that's a good thing.
And that was one of them, so I thought I'd use it. But I do feel perplexed in this situation, if that makes sense, because I really haven't seen a lot of Chera play personally. And I know Fremantle have got some absolute stars. I reckon they've actually got the top three young talent in the league. I think Fremantle, Sydney Swans and Essendon's young talent are by far the best. And I talk like 18, 19, 20-year-olds. And he doesn't spring first in mind for me as the first pick that I would go for from Fremantle. Now, I know he wants to come home, but I just think the biggest thing for Carlton that they need to do is not pay overs for this. And I talk overs in terms of pick and in terms of money. Their most important asset right now, and I don't not care who's on the list, and I've got a lot of mates there, I would just say keep Sam Walsh happy. If Sam Walsh agrees to this and he says, yep, do it, I'd be like, okay, I'll do whatever he says. But their money's got to go to Walsh and Harry Mackay.
Yeah.
So if I'm a Carlton supporter right now, I don't want to see them offering overs.
$750,000, and it's going to be your first pick, which will be pick six, and more on top of that, apparently.
Okay. So that makes me
deal shocked.
Jeez, makes me a little bit nervous. I don't know. I just don't know who's making these decisions at the moment when they haven't even locked in a coach and they don't even know if what the hell is going on. Like what? Who's making these decisions right now? I'm all for it. Don't get me wrong. I'm just a bit rattled right now. I've just sat through a week where they're pretty much saying every single person's getting sacked And then this deal apparently is getting done. I'm not sure what the hell, like, who's making this call.
So a couple of players that are getting spoken about to go was the piece with pick six. Sam Petrescu-Seaton or Zach Fisher? How do you see how do you see their career / development future?
Yeah, Zach Fisher's probably one of my favourite players at the Blues behind Sam Walsh, but I absolutely love him. He's had a really tough year with injury in and out and hasn't been as consistent as he'd like, but he's an absolute star. So I think he'll be, you know, 200 gamer for the club. I definitely don't want to get rid of him at all. I really like Samo as well. I think he's been great. I don't know if the position changes were really strange for me this year for him. I don't know if he's been able to find a position that really works because, you know, they moved him to halfback. I know he's a Halls Creek boy, obviously north of WA. But yeah, I'm not sure. I really haven't heard a lot about this trade, to be honest, as my perplexity was before when I heard about it.
The Joshy, can you just Google how far it is to where Sam Petrescu-Seaton's from? Yeah. I love when articles and stuff suggest like Sam Petrescu-Seaton might head home. And you're like, head home? Like, it's how far away? It's not, Perth's not home.
It is from
here. Aussie Park. Just one
sec. To walk there? No. It's a day and 5 minutes to drive there. A day and 5 hours.
Wow.
So it's, what's that, 29 hours?
Yeah, it's closer to Darwin than it is.
But yeah. So it's hardly returning home when you're a 30-hour drive from actually being home. Like, it's no better. So, I find that one interesting. The quick one, mate, Brownlow's all done and dusted in terms of no more voting. Quick pick for the Brownlow.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? It's a big one. I think the Bont was obviously on fire absolutely all year, but then Clary Oliver comes home so hard. I was actually speaking to Andy Brayshaw from Fremantle last week, and he threw one up I didn't mind, and I've actually sort of been thinking about it since, is Took Miller. I know they don't win a lot of games, but who's taking votes from him?
Absolutely nobody, but who's getting votes in terms of, mate, they lost games by 50, 60, 80. That's why in Jack Steele.
I still think he's a chance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I still think he's, yes, you're right. I still think sometimes these guys are a chance when there's literally no one else that's taking a vote.
Yeah.
And you to think that he broke the record for most possessions over 30 games this year as well. It's got to be a smoky, even to finish in the top five or top 10. I think that was a good shout by him. But if you're looking at those standout guys, I think it's pretty obvious. Clayton Oliver is my pick. But then again, you've got Petrarca and Gawn taking picks away from each other there.
Yeah.
Where Bont, again, he's probably been the best player this year.
Yeah, I'm Clary Wines tie. I do think Jack Steele reminds me of a Matt Pritter season. So when Pritter won it, West Coast didn't make the finals. But we were super competitive in nearly every game. Like, yeah, half time, there's a goal in it or whatever. We didn't make the finals. We finished ninth, I think, missed on the last day. But St Kilda had like three games there, lost by 100. So I feel as though there's some real whackings in there that Jack Steele's going to suffer from. Hey, let's move on, mate, just quickly before we do wrap and run. This week's games, Friday night at Optus, Geelong Football Club v. the Giants.
I went earlier with the Giants and got absolutely smashed for it this morning on radio here in Melbourne, but I've got to stick fat with them. I think even though they've lost Toby, I still think there is a little man sitting in Geelong's head about the Giants. I'm 99% sure the last two times they've played, the Giants have actually beat them, and I think they beat them at home both times. So I'm backing in the Giants this week, and it might even soften Geelong's resolve not knowing that Toby Green's going to be out there.
Okay, so you're going Giants. I'm going to go Geelong. They couldn't play as bad as what they did. And last time I saw them play here at Optus against Fremantle, they won by 11 goals, and they were unbelievable. That was so good that night.
I think I've dug my own grave here, because just to say that Joel Selwood's obviously breaking the records of Geelong for games played. You know, Hawk had his 300th last week and they didn't do very well for it. And Mitch Duncan's back. They're going to really come out with a vengeance to set the scene back again.
But yeah, talking about Joel Selwood breaking the record, is it 333 games or something like that? when I was 17, so I just got drafted. Joel was my age, but the draft after. I brought Joel down to Hawthorne training, a 2K time trial to sort of show him to the doctors and present to the doctors. He had a bit of a knee problem. And they ruled that his knee wouldn't last the vigours of AFL football. So they skipped on him and then Geelong took him to pick after us. And Joel's like, mate, they're right. They are right. 100% my knee won't stand up. But by the time until it blows up, I'm going to play over 300, win a couple of flags and captain the club for the most games ever. I'm like, yeah, fair call. No, not about me. I was no.
Do you know what's funny about that though, X? Is literally like, I don't remember him ever missing a game from like a knee injury.
Never.
Like, I don't know
if he never has
ever been mentioned.
He wouldn't even know which knee it was that was meant to be sore now. But yeah.
Is that a myth? Like, did Geelong spread that rumor or is that serious?
No,
like,
he I don't did know have, that. Like, under 18s, he had a shitty knee. But not anything like, man, he was the best player. I saw someone today about it. Bashir Hooley in under 13s was the best player I've ever seen. He had like a beard and a bit of stubble and shit already. He was so big and Joel would go so hard at him, but we just weren't big enough to like stop Bashir. But then by the time 16s came around and 18s, Joel was unbelievable, like incredibly good. The best that by so far. And then to get the old, oh no, his knee won't hold up. I was like, probably to have a throw at the stumps regardless. His knee might be all right. Anyway, there you go. Joel Salad breaking the record. And last but not least, mate, the Bulldogs v. the Lions at the Gabba.
Yeah, this will be a big game. Big game. I love both these teams at the moment, but I think the Doggies after last week, the momentum was pretty strong. Coming in, like I said, they had lost their last three games and then their momentum after beating Essendon last week, I think they go in with this one against the Doggies to flick it around. I love the way they play. Waitman copped a lot of shit throughout the week.
Unfair.
He was reversed. What about that? So stupid. Mate, if the umpire's giving me free kicks, what do you think I'm going to turn around and say, oh, no, umpire, have the ball back? Like, what?
Yeah, no, four goals. Like, not one person was like, credit to the kid who kicked four in a final. They just shit-canned him, which I thought was a bit silly. Who'd you say? They're Doggies.
Yeah. Doggies for me.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Lions. Yep. I just love the Lions. I don't know why I'm somewhat obsessed by him, but can you imagine Lachie Neal had 46 touches on the wing? Can you imagine you and I in that game if we were having 46?
Oh, I'd retire after that.
Yeah. Mate, you and I could have gone a month without 46 combined. Amazing scenes.
I seriously don't think I had 46 in the season sometimes. I'm not even joking. That's just ridiculous. Like, that's, it's silly. Well, that's like my good mate, Jake Stein from the Giants. He had a career high disposals in the first quarter of that final last week. He had 11 and 5 intercept marks. Like, this bloke was doing decathlons 4 years ago. And then after that, the next three quarters, he had one touch in each quarter. Yeah. And I was like, what the hell?
It's like when you kick.
You'll probably never see that
when
again.
When you kick one or two in the first quarter somehow and you go, shit, I might kick eight here. And the end of the game comes and you've kicked two and had no more touches. You think, that didn't go to plan.
literally.
Anyway, mate, all the best. Hopefully we chat next week, obviously. But I know you can't do much, but we're thinking of you. And rest up, mate.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. And big plans. I've heard the one man that's the most excited about the grand final being in WA is secondly to yourself, obviously, with all the cash you'll be bringing in. But the content created by Joshy Gallup and his squad, it will be enormous.
Mate, he put in the group chat before, hey, can I get my hands on the Premiership Cup?
Wow. And I don't doubt that either.
No, he wants
it. I think he'll be able
to. Yeah, he wants it.
I actually did reach out to the media manager. Like, what are the odds? You got four of them. Just give us one for 2 hours.
And what they say?
Oh, well, I know Trav pretty well. He's like media manager at West Deputy. He just didn't reply.
Okay, that's a no.
2 weeks later when I text him, hey, mate, want to get a beer?
Yeah, it was within 30 seconds.
Like, why didn't you reply to the other one?
Yeah. It'd bring the Premiership Cup now, Dick. Yeah. Hey, all right, mate, all the best. I'm off to get a haircut, get the ears lowered, and speak to you next week.
Look at this for a haircut, mate.
Do you know who you look like with your hair like that? Who are those?
Frodo?
No, who are those Instagram people we don't? The inspired, uninspired, or whatever. Yeah. You reckon?
I look like him, you reckon?
The hair like that?
Yeah, he's looking stylish, mate.
I reckon they're calling them the poor man's Joshy Gallup these days.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I don't know they're doing that.
this is a bit awkward. This is a bit awkward. We can't say anymore. We've got to move on, mate. We've got to go. We've got to cut it off right now. We're out. See ya. Well,
there's another episode done and dusted of the Loose Balls again. Thank you very much to Mazda. Brought to you by the brand new Mazda BT50, the complete package. Stay tuned for tomorrow. The 2-minute warning will be out in the afternoon. Enjoy, sit back, and have a good night.